This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast, brought to you by Arrowhead Land Company. Here you will be educated, entertained, and equipped to get more out of your outdoor experience. So hold on tight, because here we go. Let's see here. Are we working now? Yep. All right, I think we're working now. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast. My name is John Hudspeth, and I will be your host this week and every other week. So welcome to the show. I have been having some microphone difficulties. My little girl, who is almost 10 months old, actually, when this drops, she will be 10 months old. She is extremely mobile now. She's crawling everywhere. She's pulling up on furniture and stuff, standing. She's even letting go and, you know, balancing for a second. So she's going to be walking any day now. But anyway, her favorite thing to do now is to crawl into our bedroom where I have my computer set up and grab a hold of the microphone cord and shake it all around and try to eat it and all that stuff. So I went to start recording and the mic wasn't working. Think I got it now. Hopefully there's not a short in the cord or anything like that, but I think we're rolling according to the little beeps showing up on my computer. So anyway, all that to say, welcome to the show. We are back for another great episode this week. We're going to be talking all kinds of turkey hunting this week, and not necessarily any strategy or skill or anything like that. It's mostly just going to be stories, because I've actually done quite a bit of turkey hunting the last, 2 weeks. And so I've done basically 3 different turkey hunts throughout the last 2 weeks. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about some time I spent on public land, some time I spent with the Oklahoma Outdoor Outreach Foundation, And then I went to Texas this most recent weekend and had some success. And so that's what we have for you guys. Man, I feel like I have so much to update y'all on, just because I feel like I haven't really done a life update in a while. But I also haven't really done anything that important lately either. So I think I mentioned my wife and I went on vacation. We got food poisoning at the end of it, which was absolutely terrible. We got back from vacation and just went right back into work and all that good stuff. I have not been to the ranch in at least a month. Yeah, I ran up there, when the guys came down for the hog hunt. After they left, I planted, some switchgrass for screening cover, and I've not been back since. So I have no idea how that screening cover's gone. We've got a couple good rains, so it should be growing. I just haven't really got to see if it's raining, if it's growing. I am planning to head up there, not this weekend. This weekend, my wife and I have a wedding, but the following weekend, my wife is taking the baby to go hang out with some of her friends for a girls' weekend. So I am headed to the ranch, and it is food plot time. So going to be picking up some soybeans. We've had quite a bit of moisture lately, which is good. Ground should be nice and moist. I'm getting a lot of winter wheat popping up from, you know, last fall. And so I think the plan is to go ahead and spray that, terminate that, and then I've mentioned it before in the past, we got that new finishing plow, and I don't need to plow. Like the point of the plow is not to, you know, turn the ground over or anything like that. But when I first made this food plot way back when, we had a big plow that I went back there, and I'd sprayed the grass, and I was just kind of, you know, using the plow because it was a brand new plot, going into old grass and everything. But when I plowed it up, it was pretty wet, and I made huge ruts. It's pretty sandy soil, and those ruts have just never gone away. So even though that was like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I've planted it multiple times, sprayed it multiple times, and it's just a pain because I have these giant ruts everywhere. And so, yeah, so I'm going to take the finishing plow, not to really turn the ground over, but more just to try to smooth it out, make it easier to drive across, walk across. I've even seen deer actually like walk around these ruts because the ground is so uneven. So yeah, all that to say, going to plow it real lightly just to try to level it out, smooth it up, and then I'm just going to immediately go back and plant soybeans. So this is my first time planting soybeans. I think I tried once years and years ago, and I didn't really know what I was doing, didn't have very good success. I was also putting them in a really small plot that was probably not big enough, and so they just got, what little bit did come up, immediately got hammered, and they didn't do me much good. So yeah, this time I'm going to be planting about 5 acres worth of soybeans, 3 acres in one, 2 acres in another. And yes, very, very excited about it. So depending on how those soybeans do, I may hold some of them to the fall. I may, you know, throw some stuff in there on top of it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I was talking to my sister's father-in-law when I was in Nebraska and asking him, because they farm for a living, corn and soybeans. And I was basically asking him how late I could wait to plant them, because I do want them to hold over into fall. And he basically said you can plant them as late as you think you have moisture. And so, part of the reason I've waited so late is because I haven't had a chance. But also, I'm kind of holding out because I want to try to wait until, you know, they are maturing a little bit later to hopefully have some forage left, you know, October 1st when the deer season rolls around. So that's my plan. Crossing my fingers that we continue to get some moisture, because I don't know, it seems like things are slowly drying up. I mean, all of a sudden this weekend it's like super hot. I think it's going to hit like 95 today out of nowhere. So hopefully there's some moisture left in the sky. Hopefully the soybeans make it. And yeah, that's the hope. So got the screening cover. Hopefully I'll have some soybeans, and hopefully this coming deer season is going to be one of my best ever. So not going to lie. I kind of broke the story of the 2% buck this last fall. I've never really talked about him much in the past, just cause I didn't want to draw much attention to him. But, cat's kind of out of the bag, and it's no secret that he is definitely going to be one of my main targets this coming year. But as I've mentioned, he's just a ghost, and I do not think he lives on our property. I'm pretty sure he lives on the neighbors. Just kind of always came over at night. And like I said, I'd be lying if I said that these food plots were not with him in mind. I'm just trying to give him a reason to hang around more. You know, he's usually on us a lot during the summer. I typically get several velvet pictures of him, although this previous year I think I only got one or two. But yeah, just any reason for him to spend more time on our property, I'm going to do it. So yeah, that's the goal. That's the life update. I still have yet to go fishing. I think I might go fish a farm pond this evening or this weekend sometime, you know, just here around local. But I've not taken the boat out. Haven't really done much fishing at all. So let's see. I updated my daughter, updated y'all on the food plots, updated y'all on the lack of fishing. I guess that's it. I think we're ready to jump into the episode. So that's going to do it for this intro. We're going to hear a quick word from a few of our partners, and then I'm going to be telling y'all all kinds of turkey stories. So that's what we got in stock today. Hope y'all are ready for it, and I'll see y'all right on the other side of this quick ad break. There is truly no place like the great outdoors in Oklahoma. When you're out in the wild, you want your wireless devices to work. Unlike other carriers, Bravado Wireless believes that coverage in rural areas is important so that you stay connected. With competitively priced plans and coverage where you need it, the mission of Bravado Wireless is to keep you connected no matter where you are. Visit bravadowireless.com or check them out at one of their retail locations. Bravado Wireless, the power of connection. Arrowhead Land Company has one goal: to help the hardworking landowners of Oklahoma and beyond. The founders of Arrowhead have years of real estate experience between them and will use it to help you either buy or sell that little slice of heaven. Real estate is one of the oldest and safest investments you can make in this great country of ours, so it makes sense that you want to trust that decision with somebody who really knows the business and wants what's best for you. And it certainly doesn't help if that person knows a thing or two about hunting also. Check out Arrowhead Land Company for all of your land buying and selling needs. All right, folks, let's get after these stories. So all of this kind of started a few weeks ago, or really before that, back at the Backwoods Show. I met the guys from the Oklahoma Outdoor Outreach Foundation. Had Tim on the show. Hopefully y'all listened to that episode. And the weekend, I believe it was the weekend of the 21st, was their spring turkey hunt. And so had Tim on the show, you know, was saying how I wanted to get involved, but I had some work stuff going on, and it's the complete opposite side of the state. And so I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to get up there in time, because they start the hunt at noon on Friday. And so I was talking to Tim, and he asked if I would be willing to lead the church service Sunday morning. And I said, absolutely. And so he's like, hey, if you just want to come up, you know, hang out Saturday afternoon, lead the service on Sunday, that'd be fantastic. So I was like, all right. And so, so I immediately got on Onyx and started looking around for some public ground close, and found two places. And so did some research, kind of narrowed in. And so I wasn't able to leave early on Friday, but I left after work, drove up there, and my plan was to hunt public Saturday morning and then go hang out with the, you know, the guys at the foundation. So got off work a little bit early, not much, drove all the way across the state, and I thought that I was going to be up there with a little bit of time to scout Friday evening, but end up, when I was going through Oklahoma City, I don't know what happened. I just did what, you know, the map told me to do, but somehow when I was on the other side of Oklahoma City, I had somehow lost like 30 minutes. I don't know if I accidentally missed an exit. I didn't really hit any traffic or anything, but just all of a sudden it was like somebody snapped their finger and I was 30 minutes behind. And those 30 minutes ended up being very important, because I did not make it up there in time to scout. And so originally I thought maybe I'll still drive, you know, out there to just to see if like the parking area is, you know, available, if the gate, you know, if there's a gate or not. But I was just tired. I knew I was going to have to wake up super early, because I was staying like 45 minutes away from, you know, the hunt area. And so ended up didn't even drive out there to see it the evening before. So just went straight to Fairview, is where the, you know, the area where the hunt was. So stayed in a hotel there, got maybe 5 hours of sleep. I woke up, gosh, at like 4 a.m., something like that. I want to say I was on the road at 4:30. So woke up super early, just punched it into the GPS, a spot that I had scouted online, and drove out there. So pull up again, never laid eyes on it, done nothing but kind of look at the map on Onyx, looked at the state map, you know, made sure I was in a clear open hunting zone and everything. This area did have some like non-ambulatory, however you pronounce that word, spots, and so just wanted to make sure I was all in the clear. So get to where I was planning to go, and there was actually already a truck in the parking lot, and I got there over an hour before daylight. And so whoever was there, like, my hat's off to you. You are obviously hardcore turkey hunter. So anyway, I'm in this big area. I mean, the whole area is thousands of acres. The little place where I had parked, you know, you're going to be able to access a couple thousand acres from this one parking area. And so I'm looking at this other truck. He's kind of parked on like the left side of the parking area. And so I'm like, all right, I'm guessing, just guessing he probably went left. The spot that I had scouted out was to the right. And so, yeah, got my backpack on, had my decoy, had my little bitty, it's not really a blind. It's just kind of like a little camo netting cover thing. It's actually, I bought it last year when I went to Nebraska to deer hunt with, and I thought it'd be perfect for, you know, this kind of run and gun turkey hunting. So had that shotgun, obviously, and took off. And so again, never stepped foot on this place, had no idea what I was getting into. You know, I tried to like zoom in and look at the vegetation, but just couldn't really see. I knew it was going to be more arid. I was really afraid of rattlesnakes. But anyway, so yeah, so I had my headlamp on. I'm literally looking down at my phone, basically just like walking, looking at the little blue dot on my phone and going to this X that I had marked. And so follow the road for maybe 200 yards, get off the road, and I'm like brush busting. I mean, going through, not really mesquites. I don't know what they were. It was dark. You know, got into some really tall grass, ended up having to walk around like a little wetlands area. And I finally got to this kind of field edge, and I'm walking towards this tree line, getting closer, and I can see that I'm getting close to where I want to be. And I'm like, yes, you know, it's still a good ways till daylight and everything. I'm keeping my ears open, listening for gobbles, and I'm getting closer. And then all of a sudden I thought I saw like some light, and I was like, what the heck? And I kind of look and stop. Don't see anything, put my head down, keep walking, and then bam, somebody's headlamp comes on. And I assume it was the other guy in the parking lot. And guys, like when I say he was where I was going to go hunting, I'm not talking like close to the area. I'm talking like he was on the X. Like it was as if I had sent him my pin and be like, hey, this is where you should hunt. That's where this guy was. And so, I'm always confused when you're on public land, if you're supposed to like go up and talk to the person or not. I tend to shy away from it. And so I turned and started walking the other direction. And, I thought I had a backup plan, but when I got to looking at my map, that spot was really too close to all my backup plans, you know, with another hunter in there. So trying to figure out if I can walk past him, because there's some really good looking stuff past him, but I just kind of felt weird. I didn't want to, you know, mess up his area. And then I was also just afraid that I would wind up close enough to him that like, if I heard a gobble, I would think it was him. You know, if I heard turkeys or whatever. And so I just decided, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go the other way. So I ended up walking all the way back to the truck. I'd walked off the path enough that I didn't walk back the same way. And I was trying to get back on the road. And so I walked through some super thick stuff. Found some awesome deer beds, actually. Like I was walking through, I'm in like chest high grass, there's little saplings everywhere, and all of a sudden there's just like, yeah, little open spots in the grass, there's rubs everywhere. So yeah, I found an awesome buck bedding area. But anyway, make it back to the road, go back to the truck, and take off the other direction. And so I actually kind of headed towards the river. And get to a spot that looks pretty good. And I was like, you know what? This might be worth setting up. Pull out the map and kind of zoom in a little closer. And I realized I'd kind of made a mistake. So I was hunting along a river, but about 100 yards off the river, there was like this big slough. And I had basically put myself on the opposite side of the slough of the river. And so I'm looking above me. I'm looking at like the trees and everything. And I just realized, like a turkey's just not going to be where I am, and the chances of me being able to call a turkey over that slough, I felt like were pretty slim. And so I just feel like, man, I got to get around this slough. And so I basically take off parallel to the river, further from the parking area, and I walk and I walk and I walk, and it's like, all right, you know, probably good here. Pull out the phone, still not around the slough. It was longer than I thought. So walk and walk some more, and I finally make it around the slough, and by this time, it's starting to get a little bit of light. Like, I can't quite turn my headlamp off, but it's getting bright. And so start setting up, you know, I take my backpack off and stuff, and again, it's kind of getting light enough to see, and I start looking around, and I'm just not liking what I'm seeing around me. I'd kind of got away from, like, the big, tall cottonwoods. It was all shorter, kind of like post-oak type stuff, and I just didn't feel confident in the area. I went ahead, I pulled out my, I don't know if I tried to do a hen call or I brought a crow call, but did like a locator type call and didn't hear anything, answer it. And so that just drove my confidence down even more. And so pulled out the phone again, and I wasn't too awful far from like a wheat field that was on the public area. And so sprinted over there. It was probably 200 or 300 yards, and basically just kind of got to the wheat field. It's getting light. I was like, I'm just going to set up. I just feel like I need to do something. So tucked into the brush surrounding the wheat field, threw my decoy up out in the wheat field, and let the sun come up. So I was thinking, it was a big wheat field. I didn't measure it, but it was probably 10 acres, something like that. And so I felt like, even though the area didn't look super good, that, you know, maybe there'd still be some turkeys around. I think this was 1 week after the opener, and so I'm sure all this area got hit pretty hard, you know, opening weekend. But I thought, you know, with the big open area, that I might at least be able to see some, and then maybe either work my way closer, or, you know, call them in, whatever. And it just didn't work out. I sat there for 45 minutes, never saw anything, never heard anything. I was calling. Before long, couldn't take it anymore. I realized I wasn't doing any good. So I went ahead and picked up, moved closer to the river, actually went all the way and walked to the river, calling along the way. But I think I had just gone too far to the west, basically, from the parking area. You know, the stuff that I was looking at the east, it was your big cottonwoods. It was more native grass, not as brushy and stuff like that. And so I think, kind of in my haste, trying to get away from that other hunter, I ended up just going too far away from the good stuff. So went back to the truck. I did stop off at one other area, but, you know, by the time I got there and everything, it was like 8:30, you know, kind of that prime time fly down time had already passed. Did a little bit of exploring, did a little bit of calling, but again, didn't hear or see anything. So yeah, that was my public land hunt. Short and sweet. Again, I just had one morning. I'd never stepped foot off, you know, on that property, so it's hard to complain too much. I did find a little bit of satisfaction in the fact that other hunter was in the spot that I was going to hunt, because that guy, he was most likely a local, you know, he was out there, he was obviously knew what he was doing. He was a hardcore turkey hunter, and I was ended up in the same spot as him. So that, you know, that part was cool. It was definitely an adventure, and I just love walking around on new properties. Obviously, you know, I was looking for deer sign the whole time, looking for sheds. So yeah, no sign of turkey whatsoever. But it was still fun, and it was awesome, and I'm glad I did it. So headed back to the hotel, took a quick nap, kind of cleaned up, and headed out to the Oklahoma Outdoor Outreach Foundation guys. I need to figure out a quicker way to say that. I'm just going to refer to them as the foundation now. So headed out there, showed up at camp right after lunch. And so they had already done a evening hunt on Friday, a morning hunt on Saturday, and then they were all eating lunch. And so walked in there, you know, had never met a soul of these people, you know, nobody there. I guess one guy, Keith, who I believe is Tim's son, he was the guy that I talked to at the booth. I figured that out, and he, you know, remembered me and everything. So, but right away, they made me feel at home. There were some awesome people there. You know, hunters were great. The guides were great. The guys running it were great. Very well-run program. I think I talked about it last week, but guys, I cannot just brag on these guys enough. And they need help. They need people to volunteer. They need money. If you're listening to this, if you love this show, you would love this organization. And I'm going to tell a quick story here to kind of go with that. But like I said, right away made me feel at home. The food was fantastic. They were staying in like an older gym. It was old enough. I did laugh about this. It was old enough that the basketball court did not have a 3-point line. So it was that old, but it served the purpose. A lot of people brought campers. Some people were in tents. A lot of people like myself were staying in town at the hotels. So yeah, but awesome, awesome. And so just kind of hung out with everybody. And Keith was like, "Hey, I'm taking a youth hunter out. If you want to come with us," I was like, "Yeah, that'd be great." And so I unfortunately it ended up getting cold that evening, and I had not come prepared to hunt because I just thought I was going to be hanging out. So luckily, I had like a spare sweatshirt. I brought my coat and I had a spare sweatshirt in the truck. Had nothing to layer, you know, on my legs or anything like that. Turned out we didn't need it, which was good. But anyway, our hunter's name was Brock. I posted a video of him on Instagram. Hopefully everybody saw it. Brock was 9 years old. His mom was there with him, and then her boyfriend was there, with his son also. But they were going with a different guide to try to get him a turkey. And so, me and Keith, Brock and his mom all jumped in the truck and drove off, and we were one of the later ones to get out. So as we were driving around, you know, Keith was kind of pointing out the other hunters and where they were and everything like that. And so it was kind of cool because we got to see the whole area. And we actually drove by where we were going to go hunt, by the blind, and went to kind of scout out this wheat field. He didn't want turkeys to be in that wheat field because it would mean that they probably weren't going to come to us. So we went and checked it out. There actually was one hen out in that wheat field. She kind of spooked a little bit, but he's like, "All right, that's good." So we turn around, go through the gate, we park, we get out of the truck, and as we turn to walk towards the blind, we actually see some turkeys kind of working their way away from where we're about to sit, away from the blind, up on top of this ridge. And so Keith's like, "Oh man, that's not good. You know, they beat us here. I don't know if they'll come back." So we start walking, and little Brock was so excited, and he was a firecracker. He was full of energy. And so Keith actually asked if his mom would, like, pick him up and carry him, just kind of keep him contained. And she made it about, you know, 3 steps, and he's, you know, hitting her and stuff and one down. He's too excited. And so she set him down. I don't blame her. And so we're trying to, like, keep him calm, keep him, you know, under control. And he's running around and wanting to climb up the hills and everything. And so we keep walking, and our blind was set up on the bank of a creek, and it was dry. And so we dropped down into the creek bed, and we had watched these turkeys kind of made it into the trees, and we're kind of headed up the ridge. But, you know, Keith was like, "We might be able to call them back down." So we work all the way through the creek. We pop out of the creek and just go straight into the ground blind. So we get set up in there. I had brought an extra chair. They already had their chairs and gear in there, and they have all kinds of equipment for these hunters. And the way that it was working with this younger kid, Brock, Keith had a gun, and he was going to hold it and everything. And then they have a trigger system that is actually connected to a battery, and it goes to a button. And Brock's mom had one, and Brock had one. And the way it works is one of them had to hold the button down, and then the other one would press the button, and that's what made the gun fire. And so, you know, Keith makes sure they're good on that, makes sure everybody's set, and starts calling. And I actually learned a ton. I was really glad I went with him. We were hunting Rios, you know, we're out further west, and Keith was extremely aggressive with his calling. I feel like everybody always talks about, you know, the fear of overcalling, like, you know, don't overcall. That's all that I've ever heard is, you know, you got to be careful, you got to be patient. Dude, Keith had a slate call in his hands and then had a mouth call in his mouth, and he'd be doing those suckers at the same time. He'd start with the mouth call, then he'd hit the slate, vice versa. I mean, he was making some serious noise, not pausing very long between the calls, and these birds just immediately started gobbling back. I mean, first call, they cut him off. Like, they were fired up, even though we assumed we'd kind of spooked them. But I'm thinking they just kind of saw the truck pull in. They didn't really see us. I don't know. They weren't hard spooked somehow. So he had set a decoy out there. He's calling, he's hammering, and eventually one of these turkeys comes down the hill, and we see it pop out, but it's across the fence. And we need them to be on our side of the fence, obviously. And so he's calling, and of course this gobbler's hung up. And so, I mean, we can see it. Brock can see it. He's all excited. It's, you know, strutting around and stuff. It's not really coming out in the open. It's hanging close to cover, but we can see it. And so we're all just like, please, please cross that fence. Please cross that fence. And so Keith calls once, and I hear a gobble, but I'm watching the gobbler that we're looking at, and it wasn't him. And so I'm like, okay, now we got two gobblers. And so we're, you know, again, calling. They're gobbling. Sometimes they'd gobble together. Sometimes they'd gobble separate. Eventually the second bird comes out, and it's even bigger. It's got a big, nice beard. And so we got these two gobblers here, but they're hung up on the fence, as turkeys tend to do. For whatever reason, they just don't want to cross this fence. They see the decoy. They just won't commit. And so we're sitting there, and we're trying to figure out what to do. We're trying to be patient. And I turned my head to the left, and we had a window with the screen was closed, but the solid part was open. And that hen that we had scared on the road, I see her come around the corner. And I was like, hey, we got a hen to our left. And he's like, all right, like, this could be good or bad. You know, if the hen comes to us, it's good. But if that hen goes to these gobblers, they could, you know, very easily just take her off into the thick stuff, and we're toast. And so I say a quick little prayer. I'm like, Lord, please, please let that hen come to us. And so we're watching, and he's still calling. They're still fired up. They're looking at the decoy. They're looking at the real hen. They're kind of going back and forth. And I hear Keith kind of whisper, like, Lord, please let that hen come to us. And so I very carefully turn my head again. And just as I, you know, kind of find her, she's coming underneath the fence. And I whisper to Keith, she crossed. And so he calls, and just immediately, as soon as that hen came under, she walks right, I mean, she probably walked within 7 yards of us right there. And we see the gobblers put their fans down, and they tuck under the fence. Keith gets ready. He's, you know, picking out a bird, and I hear him, you know, whisper to Brock, like, get ready. And I see him take aim, and I hear him whisper, fire, and boom, gun goes off, turkey drops. And guys, if you haven't seen the video, I didn't video the shot. I had my phone out and I was videoing Brock. Please go to my Instagram and watch this video, because that shot goes off. And it takes Brock kind of a second to register what happened. And then he loses his mind. It is awesome. It is amazing. He's jumping up and down. His mom's freaking out. He's freaking out. Keith grabs him and bear hugs him. And he's like, I shot him in the head. I shot him in the head. Because that's, you know, what they preach to him and stuff. And it was just so cool. We get out of the blind, and we had to hold Brock by the collar to keep him from running up there and getting spurred by the turkey, because he was so excited. And eventually the turkey, you know, they always kind of do the death run, or not run, but, you know, they're kicking their legs and flapping their wings, and we didn't want Brock to get hurt, so we're holding him back. And finally he gets that out of his system. And guys, this turkey was massive. He ended up actually winning the largest turkey competition. I think he was 22 pounds. I think he had a 10-inch beard, and his spurs were almost an inch and a half. I think they measured out at 1 3/8. Huge spurs, huge bird. We kept holding the bird up next to Brock, and it was like bigger than him. His mom is just immediately calling everybody she knows. She called her dad and her mom and you know, all aunts and uncles, and she just kept getting all these texts and stuff, and she was sending them pictures, and Brock was just so excited. He kept holding the bird. He kept picking up the legs and looking at the spurs and stuff. I mean, just made your heart melt. One of his first hunts ever, his first turkey. I'm tearing up a little bit just thinking about it. Keith lost it. I'm going to throw him under the bus. He started crying. Yeah, just I can't explain the emotions that went on this hunt. And I am all for it. I want to go back. They do two deer hunts in the fall. They do a youth only hunt, and then they do an everybody hunt. And guys, I can't brag on these people enough. Taking the time to do all this stuff, you know, they're out there ahead of time, scouting, setting up blinds. You know, in deer season, they're running feeders. And I think on this hunt there were 13 hunters. I think 6 of those 13 were in wheelchairs, and you know, they have to make all the accommodations for that, be it ground blinds or you know, whatever, you know, deer blinds and stuff. You know, a lot of them have to be wheelchair accessible. It's just a fantastic, fantastic organization. So once again, I'm going to plug it again. If you have some time to volunteer, it's usually 3 days. Usually the hunts start at noon on Friday. They hunt Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, and then Sunday morning, and that's it. So it's really only 2 days. If you find it in your heart and you want to get involved in something that is an awesome, good cause, look these guys up, and I'm going to be promoting them more as we get closer to deer season. If that's not your thing, maybe you don't have the time, or you don't feel like you, you know, could be a guide or help cook or anything, man, think about writing them a check. Every little bit helps. You know, the cost of all this stuff, all the feeders and the blinds, and you know, they like to give all the hunters gear, you know, bags, and they were giving, you know, the kids turkey calls. They did a kids turkey calling competition Saturday night. Just think about it, pray about it, and help these folks out, because it's, yeah, I just can't brag on them enough. So that concluded, the hunt up there, Sunday morning, they did, you know, took some more hunters out. I want to say they ended up killing eight out of 13 hunters got a turkey, which is pretty darn good. They're running all over the place. The landowners is a huge part of this, you know, being willing to let these people come and hunt on their property and take their animals. So, yeah, so I did my talk Sunday morning and then headed home, and that finished out that weekend. So that was the Oklahoma portion of my hunting season. And then this last weekend, I made the trip out to West Texas to my buddy's place. Had the place all to myself, and had a grand old time. So it was clouded and a little bit of sadness. I haven't mentioned this on social media or anything like that, but that Thursday before the weekend that I went to Texas, my 8-year-old cousin was killed in a car accident. His mom and him were in a vehicle with one of his friends and his friend's mom. They were driving home from a field trip, and just complete freak accident. A wheel came off an 18-wheeler, bounced across the median, and hit right there where my cousin Baron was sitting. Shattered the glass, killed him instantly. Nobody else in the vehicle was hurt, but poor Baron, 8 years old, went to be with the Lord. So that happened on Thursday. Another reason that it kind of made it tough on everybody was it was a fairly similar incident to when my brother was killed, which has been 12 years ago now. It also was a car accident involving an 18-wheeler. So it brought back a lot of bad memories. It brought back some sweet memories too. You know, anytime we get to reflect on my brother, it's, it can be a sweet time also. But so that happened on Thursday. The family asked that we, you know, stay away, let them have some time on Thursday. And then Friday, we all went over there and hung out as a family, you know, extended family and friends and everything. So yeah, I went over to my uncle's house, aunt and uncle's house on Friday, hung out with them for a good long while. And then, as everybody was leaving, I headed out to West Texas and went ahead and drove all the way out there, Friday night. So kind of similar to, you know, the Oklahoma deal where I got there super late at night. I want to say I got there around 10. My buddy has a Nissan Frontier that he keeps out there, truck, and it's got, you know, mud grip tires on it and everything. And I knew it was going to be fairly wet because we had some rain during the week. And so I thought ahead and went ahead and turned it on just to make sure, one, that it would start, and two, check the gas gauge. And sure enough, it had less than a quarter tank of gas. And so he keeps some gas tanks there. And so I threw the gas tanks in my truck, drove back to town, which was about 20 minutes, filled the gas tanks and headed back, filled the truck. So all that to say, I didn't get to bed till like 11:30, something like that, Friday night. And as I mentioned before, we stay at a house that's not actually on the property where we hunt. So you have to drive down the road a little ways and then weasel your way back through some other landowners. So it's a long haul to get out there. And so got out there nice and early, had my same little, it's not a pop-up blind, but my little short blind. So took it out there. I have hunted this property before. I killed a turkey out there last year, so I had a good idea where to start. My buddy this last summer dozed in some new wheat fields and stuff like that for the deer, but I figured they'd be good for the turkeys also. And it's, again, pretty darn dry out there, but there's two big creeks, and along those creeks you have some big cottonwoods and some thicker stuff, and so it helps you narrow down where these turkeys are going to be, because those are some of the only roost trees in the area. So get there early before sunup and everything. I have my blind with me, and this time I just feel a little, I learned it from last year. Instead of just setting up somewhere, usually you can hear a turkey gobble on the roost, and you can kind of work your way in set up. So I get close to one of these wheat fields, go ahead and hit a call, and get a response like, around 100 yards. And so I'm like, there's no reason to get any closer. No reason to spook this turkey. So I ended up setting up actually on the edge of that wheat field, threw my decoy out there, kind of stepped it off. I think I put it at like 18 steps, something like that, 16, 18 steps. Found a sweet setup where there was a big mesquite tree that it had another pretty large, like post oak or something fall in front of it. And so I was able to tuck up against that mesquite tree, had like basically an already built blind in front of me, went ahead and put up my little cover thing, had a place to like set my calls and everything. The one thing, my one regret on this hunt is I brought my GoPro. I'm trying to be better about filming all this stuff, but I didn't have a very good spot to attach my GoPro to film, like in front of me where I could kind of control it. And so I basically had to put it up above my head on a tree limb, kind of looking down, but I didn't have a way to move. Like if a turkey got in close, it's not like I could reach up there and move it without being seen. So I kind of had to guess on where the turkey was going to come from. And so the turkey's still gobbling, a couple other chirping at this point. And so I haven't made any more calls. You know, I'm just kind of letting them do their thing. Make sure I'm good and set up, make sure I kind of let everything die down. Sun's coming up. And so when I knew it was starting to get closer to fly down time, I started giving a few yelps, you know, just real soft, real easy, nothing aggressive, just to let these birds know where I was at. By the time it, you know, got more light, I actually had three gobblers. The original one that I heard was off to my right, about 100 yards. There was one even closer straight in front of me. And then there was one pretty far away to my left. And so I was feeling good about it. Didn't think I was going to have too much trouble. Turns out I didn't. It's getting more light. They flew down really late, I felt like. I can't remember. Gosh, I don't remember the shooting times. I want to say it was like 6:40 by the time they flew down. I think sunup was like 6:10, something like that. So it was pretty good and light. And sitting there, you know, giving a few yelps every now and again, the bird in front of me is fired up. He's responding to me. The bird to my right was also very fired up. You know, I know he was close and could hear me and everything. The bird in front of me actually shut up for a little while. And then about, you know, 6:35, somewhere in there, he got real fired up. And so I knew he was going to be flying down soon. So I reached up, turned my camera on, and was just sitting there ready. And sure enough, a few minutes later, it was about 6:40, like I said, I hear him fly down, and I actually got a quick little glimpse of him as he kind of went between the trees. So he flew down straight towards me. I mean, he was probably roosted less than 100 yards from where I sat up, and when he flew down, he probably landed within 50 yards. I mean, pretty darn close. He actually walked through a pretty decent gap, and he was a little far, but he was shootable. He was probably in the 45 yard range, something like that. But the grass was just tall enough that I couldn't really see what he was. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't shooting a Jake. You know, there's enough long beards out there that it's worth waiting for. And so he was all puffed up and strutting. But I couldn't see his beard. I just couldn't tell. I just wanted to make sure he was a mature bird. So he made it all the way through the gap, kind of disappeared again. And, you know, I'm watching, I'm ready, and I hadn't seen him yet, but actually two hens popped out in front of him, that I guess were with him. So they're out in the wheat field to my left, and then sure enough, he pops out, and he just immediately puffs up, struts. I was kind of surprised. He basically ignored the two hens that he already had with him. He was all into my decoy, and I guess my calls. And so I didn't even call to him or anything. He came out. I had the gun ready. I could tell he was interested. Had the GoPro running. Of course, I had set the GoPro up more to the right, and he had circled around to the left. Guys, I think I made a post about it. I would have given anything to have had a cameraman with me. It was a short hunt. Wasn't necessarily incredibly exciting, but when he popped out into that wheat field and puffed up, you know, strutted, he did not let down a single time, and he just looked like a bodybuilder out there. Puffed up, he turned sideways, he like sidestepped in the entire way, didn't stop. He went from 40 yards to like 16 yards, and I mean just a snap. Wasn't really a run. Like I said, he was strutting the entire time, but just sidestepped in, just showing off, just putting on a show. It was so awesome. Walked right up to the decoy, stopped about a foot from it, just stared at it like, hey, look at me, I'm right here. And I was trying to let him unpuff because, you know, I didn't want to mess up his feathers or anything. I could see his, you know, he had a nice long beard and everything. But I was just trying to, you know, his head was tucked into his chest and everything. So I didn't have a real great shot at his head. He's standing there. And he never did let down. He stayed strutting the whole time, but he kind of worked around. You know, he basically started sidestepping, did like a little half circle around the decoy, and basically I got afraid that he was going to figure out that it was fake and he was going to, you know, hit her or touch her or something and realize it was a decoy. So went ahead and shot him while he was puffed up, but he didn't take a step. He didn't know what hit him. Didn't mess him up too bad. I was surprised. But that was it. It was 6:45. I mean, it all happened in 5 minutes from the time he hit the ground to the time he was dead. It was literally 5 minutes. He just circled around, came into the wheat field, strutted his way in, and I killed him. So, like I said, not the craziest, most exciting story. The story's not quite over. But yeah, I did go back and watch my GoPro footage. He comes into the frame for maybe 3 seconds before I shoot him. And it's like way over on the side of the screen. It's not centered or anything. So yeah, I just knew he was going to come straight in kind of, you know, from the right. And it would have been beautiful footage if he would have come from that way, but he just didn't cooperate. So I apologize again for like the 18th time. I keep saying I'm going to be better about filming stuff. But you know, when I finally get to go out there and do some hunting, the idea of, you know, lugging a camera around is just usually not as exciting, especially turkey. It's really hard to self-film a turkey hunt. They're just so on top of it. You're usually on the ground with them. They have really good eyesight. So it's just really, really tough. But anyway, so pull the trigger, turkey's dead. And I'm like, I'm excited, but there's another side of them. It's like, man, I could kill another turkey right now. This part of Texas, they haven't reduced their tags or anything. So I had 4 turkey tags for this weekend. And so I didn't even stop to take a picture. I pulled my decoy up, and I figured the other gobbler that had been close to my right, I figured the shot probably would have affected him. I never heard him fly down. I don't know if he was still in the tree or down. But anyway, so I decided to go to the left, to the gobbler that was further away, just because I figured the shot wouldn't have bothered him as much. And so I take off running about, I'm going to say probably went 200 yards or so, and staked the decoy, found a little spot to hide. And I had, you know, he had shut up. I hadn't heard him hit the hen call, and I heard him gobble. I got a response, but he was a pretty good ways away. I think the shot had affected him. I think he'd definitely turned the other way. He was definitely on the neighbors. I was probably 60 yards or so from the fence, and he was a good ways on the other side of the fence. And so decided it would be better. It was still so early, you know, it was like 6:50 or something at this point, that I'd be better off just picking up and going to a completely different spot instead of trying to work these turkeys that had kind of been spooked. So still didn't really take any good pictures. Took a few quick pictures and threw everything in the truck and took off. And I think I know I've talked about this before, but just in case people are new listeners, this lease is really cool. It's really unique, and I can't give too many details because it's not mine. My buddy would kill me. But it's really narrow. I mean, there's spots where it's only like 100 to 200 yards wide, but it's really, really long. And so you're following this kind of windy road all the way through. But I say all that to say, like, you're never that far from the neighbors. So you got to kind of be careful and watch what you're doing. But anyway, so I go around that creek and I'm following the road. And all of a sudden, a longbeard is flying across the road in front of me. And I'm pretty sure it was the other one that had been close along the creek. I think he had flown down the other direction to the other side of the creek after I shot. And so he goes flying off, and I'm kind of watching. You know, I know there's probably not a very good chance I'm going to be able to call him in, but he ends up going across and landing on the neighbors. And so I was like, all right, well, that one's done with. So keep going. And I went on back to the next creek. And this is, we call it the back. Like, it's the furthest from the road. I want to say it's like 7 miles from this area all the way out to the road. Again, just through, like, not even a road, not even a gravel road, just kind of a two-track, like, ranch road. And so park pretty good ways from the creek, walk up, and again, I'm figuring hopefully, you know, birds will still be talking. I don't think I had to call. I think I was just walking along and heard a gobble, which was very encouraging. And so I was like, you know what? Time to get close, time to get aggressive. So I walk all the way back, and I walk basically to the very end of the lease. And I can see the fence. I make sure to stop, you know, well short of it. I'm already thinking, like, that fence could be a pain because I know turkeys always get hung up on the fence. But I didn't have a choice. I couldn't cross the fence. So I go ahead. I get set up. I set my little blind up, set my decoy out there. I hear him gobble every couple minutes, and so I know he's still there. Get set up and make a few yelps. And right away, I hear some hens, like, straight to my right. On the neighbors, like, fairly close. And I was like, oh man, like, there's turkeys everywhere. Like, I got a real good shot. And the gobbler also responded. And so I was like, sweet man, like, I'm about to double. Like, this is going to be sweet. And I'm going to double in like 30 minutes. And so, you know, try not to be too aggressive, even though I just watched Keith, you know, a week before be ultra aggressive. Wait a few minutes, a few more yelps, and the gobbler gobbles. And then I hear the hens again, and something about it just wasn't quite right. It was really loud. The cadence was just a little too perfect. And I was like, man, I think that might be a hunter over there on the neighbors. But I wasn't sure. And so, I hear the hens again. I was like, okay, like, maybe it's real. Maybe it's not a hunter. I call, the gobbler's still gobbling. So we're just kind of like in a little triangle of turkeys here. And then I hear the hens again. I was like, man, that has to be a hunter. And I even stood up. I was like standing up, looking through the mesquites and stuff, trying to see if I could see somebody. Couldn't see anybody. They went quiet for a while. I was like, man, like, what is, like, is it turkeys? And then I heard them again, but it sounded like they were in a different spot. And so now I'm like, all right, like, am I crazy? Are these hens, is this just another turkey hunter that, you know, was moving, trying to get this gobbler to come in or what? So I kept going back and forth on whether I thought it was a hunter or not. But I'm like, hey, I'm not giving up. You know, this is a wild turkey. Like, doesn't necessarily mean it's his. So I call again, and the gobbler goes quiet for a pretty good while. And I'm not hearing the hens. Not hearing the gobbler. I'm calling every, you know, couple minutes, not getting any responses. And so finally I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on around here, but I think whatever was happening is no longer happening. So I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to pick up or stay. I went ahead and threw a couple more yelps out, and the gobbler responds. I mean, this has been like 20 minutes since the last time he had called. And so I was like, okay, like maybe I am still in the game. Maybe the other hunter left, maybe whatever. And so call again, gobbler responds again. I was like, all right, sweet. And then I hear the hens again to my right. what the heck is going on here? And so wait a few minutes trying to figure out what's going on. And then out of nowhere, took me by complete surprise. All of a sudden I hear boom to my right. And I was like, ah, it was another hunter. But I look over there and I see a turkey fly. And then I hear two more quick shots. And so I think what had happened was that the other hunter basically figured out that I was also a hunter, not a turkey. And he knew that he was in between the gobbler and me. And so I think he just shut up and let me call to the turkey. And I think what happened was, you know, he ended up seeing the gobbler, but it was a little further than, you know, what he had hoped. But he just didn't want the gobbler to come to me, and so he basically just took a pop shot, you know, hoping. But I'm pretty sure the turkey got away. I did see some jakes after that, and I think two hens. So there were some other birds in the area, so I don't know. Maybe he did kill one with the first shot, and the other two shots were him trying to get a second one. I don't know. I didn't go over there and try to find out. I was kind of, I had my pride hurt a little bit, to be honest, that I got tricked. So ended up, did not get a second bird, came very, very close. I had a thought. I was like, man, I kind of think that that's still part of Randy's lease, because there's a corner post where the fence juts out to the west. And I kind of thought where they were was still Randy's, but again, there was a cross fence, so, and I wasn't sure, so I didn't want to go over there. But I called Randy later to tell him the story, and come to find out, they were actually on his property. They had crossed off of their lease and got onto Randy's. So then I wished I would have gone up and, you know, confronted him and talked to him, and you know, they stole my turkey, kind of, because it turns out the turkey was on Randy's lease, and they were not. So anyway, all of that to say, got one turkey, was super excited about it, did not get the second one. I went ahead and went back to town, or went back to the house and tried to take a nap, but the neighbors were mowing the yard. I did go back that evening, set up in a different spot. I took the full ground blind this time, but I don't know how I did not hear a single thing after the crazy morning that I had, but I did not hear a turkey, did not see a turkey, absolutely nothing. And so, Sunday, because I'd already gotten a bird, my wife had some stuff going on Sunday. So I went ahead and did not hunt Sunday morning, got back and was able to go to church with my wife and hang out with our little girl and stuff. So yeah, that was like three different stories really quickly. I think I did all that in like one stretch. I have not talked this long in a long, long time. I haven't been doing a ton of episodes these last couple weeks. And so, yeah, that is my 2023 turkey season. So just kind of a quick recap. Went to Nebraska, had a couple close calls, called a Merriam's into 10 steps, but was not able to get it killed with my bow. Tried some Oklahoma public land, did not hear, see, or anything else of a turkey. Went with the foundation, had an awesome time. They had turkeys everywhere. That was also pretty encouraging to see. They kept talking about how numbers were down compared to the past, but there were still quite a few turkeys. You know, we saw plenty from the road. They still killed several, so we're hearing a lot of bad things about turkey numbers, but there are still birds out there, so that's encouraging. And then went out to Texas, killed a bird in 5 minutes, almost got a second bird, and that doesn't sound like a ton of hunting, and it's not, but I think that might be the most turkey hunting that I've ever done. I've definitely never hunted three states before. I think I hunted 3 days in Nebraska, 2 days in Oklahoma, and then 1 day in Texas. So 6 days, that's, you know, not too shabby, at least for me. So, I talked about how excited I was for turkey season this year. You know, I was way more excited than I ever had been, and I think it made me even more excited for next year. I'm definitely going to go back to Nebraska next year. This way, just kind of the way it fell with work and with my wife being out of town, I ended up going to an archery season. I don't think I'm going to do that again. I think I'm going to wait and go during gun season. Actually, I just saw my sister and brother-in-law came into town for the funeral, and I was talking to him, and he said after I left, like a week later, there were just turkeys everywhere, even in their yard. And so, yeah, I think going a week or two later would help, and then also just taking a stinking shotgun instead of a bow would be a huge help. So yeah, probably do Nebraska next year. I'd love to go hunt with the foundation again, or you know, be a guide. Do some turkey hunting in Oklahoma, and then I always have the place in West Texas where there's actually turkeys, and so that makes it really fun also. So yeah, that's gonna do it for turkey season 2023. That's also gonna go ahead and do it for this podcast. I don't think I'm gonna do a separate outro. I'm just gonna close it out here. So yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. I hope y'all enjoyed all the turkey content. I don't know what we're gonna get into next. I gotta figure that out. But, man, it's already, what, May? Yeah, it's already May. So, let's see, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, 4 months, basically, from deer season. So, we got a lot to cover. We got a lot to do. My throat is killing me. I just talked for 58 minutes straight. So, I'm going to shut this thing down. So, thank you guys for listening. I love you guys. And until next week, I will see y'all right back here on the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast. You have the right to the best wireless service. Bravado Wireless provides the best mobile wireless, high-speed internet, latest devices, and customer service at prices you feel good about. Bravado Wireless strives to put these values first and offer you the best wireless service available. See what they have to offer at bravadowireless.com or one of their retail locations in eastern Oklahoma. Let Bravado Wireless connect you to your family, friends, and business partners all over the world. Bravado Wireless, the power of connection.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.